in would be the amount of money which they would propose be added to the budget, which would, in effect, fund the 2+2 adjustment.
Half of the 2+2 adjustment.
Yeah.
To reduce it to half.
I have to comment before we start here that in addition to Chancellor Bartlett's other talents, he's a mean dancer. He was in Southern Oregon this weekend at a formal president's ball, and he's fairly skilled on the dance floor. Now, in case that reflected on the higher ed budget, I should let you all know.
Well, we'll really have to watch out.
That might be -2 points.
Trying to show us up, huh?
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to create an image of stern ratiocination, and this breaks my cover completely.
Yeah, right.
The only thing on this is I'm not sure that that really does provide the whole half of that 2+2 and the 1+1.
Mr. Chairman, as I think Sue's Acuff's point is, may help that, because part of that is restored in the budget that the committee originally passed for the extension service and the experiment station.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman, as well as for the dental clinics.
I thought the 2+2, 1+1 came to about $13 million, and we only restored about $1.5 million, or $1.8 million.
Mr. Chair, this is exactly one half of what's left.
Exactly one half of what's left.
General fund, yes.
That was our intention.
It's a smaller figure. I'd like to deal with smaller figures.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm trying to go beyond.
Now, the only question is, if we were to do this, we wouldn't earmark it as such, because when the instructions in the budget note was that firewall was gone.
What we are trying to determine is what amounts of money we would try to add to the higher education's budget, and we would merely be justifying those by these are the kinds of costs that need to be covered.
Mr. Chairman, if I may be so bold, the number that I would like to begin with there, instead of 5-6, is 14-6, because that's the number that would be the combination of that half of 2+2, 1+1, plus the $9 million that was in the original governor's proposal that would enable us to go to a 4% salary increase in each of the 2 years, 3.9%, but essentially 4%. And that, I think, would be the number that we would hope that you might consider as the target.
What's the new target figure?
That would be 14.6.
And what does the additional nine
That's salary.
Room down about another two or three weeks.
Right. All right. But somehow or other we need to say that there's an additional nine. That would make a total of 29 than you would think would be in the salary package for higher ed. Okay. But I thought we were also thinking in terms of an additional amount that would go to help them handle some of the problems that they have. In addition to this,
well, let's see if
maybe this wasn't all you were going to say.
I was going to suggest because I thought the charge was to suggest a scale of priorities, and I was going to begin with what seems to me kind of
that's the first one.
Irreducible first one, which is that that combination of salary issues.
I'm hoping that we can add as much to this budget as possible with our understanding that some of that may very well be used to supplement whatever sum is provided to higher education specifically for salaries.
Well, then,
let me get some understanding, because your earlier comments, we went through a little bit this morning in the committee, is in the $9,900 million, if all things were equal on the rest of the sheet there, that's an add-back. Isn't there $31 million in the salaries in that portion to be added back into match? I'm trying to figure out, there's a $31 million salary figure that people keep talking about. Of course, we haven't gotten to say it's in the salary committee, but is that related to the 4% he's trying to get to? Or is that something outside of that? Because we're beginning to talk about
29.
The governor had 29 in his budget for higher ed salaries.
And we have put, there's 20 out of the 60 million that the co-chairs had put below the line for salaries, because they figured that's the rough proportion.
20 was below.
Rough proportion between classified and faculty salary.
So of all things, if we can accomplish an expenditure level high enough, we can assume, I think, that higher education would get an allocation of 20 million from the salary subcommittee.
Plus this nine.
Plus nine.
Plus anything else that we added to higher education budget.
Yeah, right.
I just think that, you know, I've been going on this philosophy, and I hope it holds, that the state board will have freedom to use their funds for whatever purpose they think is necessary, which I hope will include increased salaries. So we don't want to get mixed up between the specific allocation out of the $60 million fund. We don't want to get that mixed up with the total appropriation for higher education. So I would hope that anything we are able to allocate for higher education, the 20 million will be added on top of it. I don't know if we can hold that, but that's the philosophy I hope we'll be able to follow.
Were I then to go to come back to where I guess I should have been with less, because it's the salaries are in a different category, then I suppose the next amount would be that set of targeted special program funds that came out to be 12 million and something after the amount for the
endowments, you mean?
Well, for a series of programs, one of which may be the endowment. There is a good deal of discussion going on as to exactly the best way to use those funds.
Right.
But that was approximately $12 million fund, a good portion of which would end up being for salaries.
Okay.
Yeah, because some of it was excellence money.
Exactly. It wouldn't be designated as salary funds. It would be program support funds, but as our chairman has pointed out, 82 or 83% of our budget is for people, and so program support funds end up supporting people for the most part. After that, I think we would hope very much that we might continue to work away at our capital repair and renovation, repair and renewal program, because and that was a $2.5 million item that we had proposed in the budget earlier, just to get one more little bite at the deferred maintenance problem.
2.5.
Yes. 2.5 added on to what's already in the.
That's right. What's
budget.
Already in the increase in the base, heading toward that $7 million total annual renovation.
There is a possibility that part of that will be met by what has been identified as what would come out of the total budget maintenance for all state government, if the division of funds were to be approved over and above the expenditure limitation.
Yeah.
There's 15 million.
Is that this?
That
would be from 6 to 15.
Yeah, yeah. 6 to 15.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. The other item that the governor has proposed, which it seems to me should be, well, there are two, which would be figured in here at some point, OCATE, which was, I believe, 1.2 million to come out of our general funds appropriation if possible. The small AHEC program, which nevertheless, which is only 250,000 this year, but in this biennium, but which nevertheless seems to be a one startup program that seems warranted. The forestry research laboratory item, which we had hoped we might be able to sneak in at some point, because it's a $150,000 item that needs to be restored.
How much did
we put that one in?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that one got into the co-chair's budget.
The COPE program is other funds. Was this a general fund item?
Did it get in?
Mr. Chairman, this is the money that got in is the forest research tax funds to finance
right.
The COPE program.
The general fund did not get in.
So Mr. Chairman, the program we're talking about here is the long-term productivity program. It's a new program that they were going to initiate.
How much was it?
$150,000. Now, I have not mentioned one of the parts of the package that we'd hoped, because there were uncertainty about how to handle it, and that was some way of dealing with the salaries in non-revenue producing intercollegiate athletics, which was a $2.3 million salary item. Now, if that is a salary item that can be dealt with under salaries, then we have no problem.
We know what you need with that.
All right, fair enough.
What does that all add up to?
It adds up to a little over $20 million.
$20
million. And I think if we looked at that...
Well, if the 14.6 and the 12, that's more than... It depends on what you're adding.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm adding.
But,
I'm adding the...
everything after the first one?
The 5.6 million. The one half of the remaining 2 plus 2 adjustment.
And then the 9?
No, I'm not adding the 9. I'm adding the targets for special program funds of 12 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm adding the capital maintenance, and from that we could subtract whatever was allocated for capital maintenance out of the overall capital maintenance budget if that one is approved. Mm-hmm. And I'm adding which is 1.2. That brings us up to 20,700,000. Now, what I didn't add to was that 9 million here
for salaries.
For salaries.
And I think you need to do that. That needs somehow or other needs to be asked for, because there's only 20 million in the salary package for
okay.
higher ed salaries. So you have to have the 9.
Well, that brings us up to 29 million.
Is that the way you add it?
If you don't include the forest research, and that's a new program, and that was
Mr. Chairman, I think forestry has a much tougher time keeping their credibility with industry than we've ever caught up with the general fund portion than to probably put it into a specific program. And I don't know what that figure is.
I've got to go, Chair.
Yeah, we aren't making decisions. We're trying to get this list. And I was hoping that this session today would sort of spark people going back to their own notes. Rising upon so we can make some decisions. You know, until some additional bills may be referred to this subcommittee, we are temporarily out of business.
I have to go.
I'd like to check with all of the individuals, see when you're ready to come back for some more more decisions here.
I'm wondering if we could get this last one from the department in some form, written form, right. So I have it. The other question or comment I guess I have is under recognizing these needs here, is in balancing what this committee will have to allocate back against things like basic or against needs grants.
Yes.
Which I'd like to get some money in.
We recognize here that we're making these priority decisions kind of in the order with reference to each of the budgets, but when we get put them all together, we'll have to decide what are.
Aren't they going to let us have the basic school support bill?
You want to take money out of that? Is that
no. let's put basic outside the limit
right
of anything else.
I've often wished that we were in the position that the Chancellor of the Exchequer was in England or something, the paymaster. He was the paymaster for the British Empire, and they hired all the mercenary troops, you know, like the Hessians to come over here to America, and they hired all those, and he got a percentage of all the funds he distributed. So he always retired as a multimillionaire.
That's one thing this committee has not been able to do.
No, it hasn't been able to.
Never mind a salary, just a commission. Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
the number that we were just trying to tot up, and we think we come to 21.550, and I wonder if the difference might be the AHEC number.
What was the figure you had for that?
$250,000.
Oh, I didn't even have the HAEC in.
Yeah, I think that then our numbers, I think, come together.
Well, figures I have are 5,622.
Yes.
And I have the 9 million. additional.
Yeah.
I have $12 million for the targeted special programs fund.
Yes, sir.
I have $2.5 million for maintenance.
Yes.
And $1.2 million for OCATE.
Yes.
Period.
Okay, that would then be $30 million. We were handling the $9 million salary differently. That's the only problem.
Okay. Yeah, I have 29.7. So
okay.
Could you give us a? What I've been doing this afternoon is putting a high low type of thing, mm-hmm. sort of a desperation column.
Yeah. Sure.
And if we were really in clover column.
Yeah.
And could you put those in order for us, and then leave the salary as a separate item down the bottom?
Possibly gets confused.
Yeah.
All right. If I may respond, Mr. Chairman, it's hard for me to think. Still, I haven't adjusted my thinking enough yet to think of any of this as Clover budget.
It's a good statement.
It really isn't a Clover budget anywhere.
I understand.
It is simply the limit within which we have been trying to work, and we're still talking about a budget that's going to cause us to be significantly reducing student enrollment next fall. So we're a long way from Clover.
Tom, Bill Lemon told me he'd have your statement for me today, and I haven't gotten it. I don't know when that's going to come to the floor, but...
It's here.
It's here.
It's here with you.
It looks pretty horrendous.
Well...
My colleagues who are still in higher education hate to have that published because mm-hmm. they feel it would be such a shock.
Yeah.
But it seems to me sometimes you have to have a shock to get going.
I have felt that it would be irresponsible not to simply draw the implications, and what it seems to me is the implication is that if the times are good, and these are relatively good times, these things are always relative, but we've been through a whole lot worse times 5-6 years ago, and we are still looking at a budget where we would be reducing our base somewhat in order to finance a 2% salary increase in a biennium when the rest of the country is going to be going 5, then it seems to me the only responsible thing would be for the chancellor to go to the board and say, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to draw the implications of where we are, and that is we've got to downsize our system to fit our resource base. At that point, we're probably talking about trying to generate about $25 million from the base in order to finance reasonable faculty salaries and some program support in order to get ourselves where we're being competitive with institutions in other parts of the country. Well, at that point, you're talking about 4-5% compounding reductions in the base in each of the 2 years of the biennium.
What does the $20 million, assuming that you got that,
yeah.
What does that $20 million buy in terms of faculty increases?
If we got the package here that we're talking about now, it's about 4% taken for each of the full years.
You're talking about the salary package and not this money right here.
I'm talking about the salary package, yes, that's right. Without whatever
with
would
your
happen.
Current budget plus the $20 million that's sitting over there. You're two in the
budget. No. The
20 that's sitting in the co-chair is $60 million that's supposedly in a safety deposit box right now.
Within the but using that within the context of the co-chair's budget means that we've got the 2+2, 1+1 problem we've got to deal with.
Well,
if that reduces the $20 million,
and then
an actual increase.
If we were to use some of that to reduce that, if we don't, then we can probably do a 2.5% per year increase.
The $20 million buys you 2.5.
Right.
And if you stagger it, it buys you 4 and 4. Or about January.
Let's not get into that nonsense again.
Well, basically, Bill was going to supply us with that because when we step into the salary committee, we're going to need to know what we have to tell our colleagues we're buying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We've got to be careful, though, that we don't buy twice as much as we're ready to fund in the next biennium.
That's right.
And that's
why what happens when you stack it up in the second
well
year
that's
of
that's why that particular strategy is not a particularly good strategy. It'd be better to fund properly on a June to June basis, or July to July basis, than it is on a staggered basis.
Well, at least it seems to me that it's better to think in those terms. Now, when we actually get there, it may be that we need for all kinds of symbolic and strategic reasons to do it the other way, but it seems to me to keep our thinking straight, we need to understand that what it is for 12 months, 12 months.
If we could hold off any salary increases for 4 years, we'd give a whopping increase.
Terrific, exactly. Exactly. One meal one day and five the next is 3 meals a day, but it's no way to live. That's right.
Okay.
But I do think it is important, again, to realize that with the present budget within the ceiling, we are talking about a situation in which major downsizing is the only rational course. With the governor's budget, we are talking about 4% per year salary increases, which is going to be at or below national average levels, in a context where we start behind.
Right. So you just fall farther behind.
What we are is going to be scrambling for this biennium under the governor's numbers to hold our own, not to gain much back. And I think it's important to be quite clear on that. We will do whatever, obviously, we are going to do the best we can with whatever we have, and we are not going to gainsay it once it's decided, but it's important to know what the implications are.
All right, thank you. We have a document here that Jeff has given us for scholarship commission. I think this is all fresh enough in our minds, so we don't have to probably review that at this time. And the other items we had on this list, that this is what you prepared, wasn't it? That Sue prepared was public broadcasting was highest priority. There was matching funds for capital construction, and I would hope that would come under capital construction. Historical Society was just a chunk of money, and we'll have some details on that. All right. Let's see here. I had a couple of people. Oh, no, one. Jean Gaines. Almost overlooked you here. I'm sorry. This essentially comes under the, or we had it under the budget for grants and aid, but we'd be happy to hear from you.
All right.
From you now. We've got about 10 minutes left. So.
All right. I think I can beat that.
All right.
For the record, my name is Gene Gaines. I am the head of the Salem Coalition for Better Parenting. My purpose in coming today is to ask your support of child development program, which, as I understand, is part of the Grants in Aid program.
Right now, there are two parts in that. One is essentially a Head Start program, and the second part of it is the what they call it now, a parenting program.
Yes,
some
all right.
Agenda,
and
some,
yeah. And I perceive them to be greatly interrelated and so on. About around the middle of December, I sent you the copy of our proposal, which subsequently became House Bill 2553. Bruce Hugo contacted me and said, inasmuch as there is some law on the books which has very similar goals, he said, and inasmuch as we are terribly busy with our schedule, both in our work sessions and our hearings, he said, would you be willing to abandon your bill and instead support what I believe is Senate Bill 5562? My reply was, yes, of course. Going over briefly as our rationale, the proposal says that if children do not have a sense of self-worth, self-esteem is the buzzword nowadays, if they don't have this, they're going to develop more slowly, academically, socially, and emotionally on this sort of thing. It follows then that the parents, for very young children, are the primary source of a sense of self-worth. It also follows that if a parent does not have a sense of security and self-worth, that parent is not going to be able to provide the climate to the child which will allow the child to develop in the manner that we would all like on this sort of thing. A parent who's been abandoned by her mate, who is without resources, shunned by her neighbors and so on, simply cannot function. Therefore, the evidence, the reasoning suggests that there is need for outreach, and I think that every social worker with perhaps rare except every social worker would agree that the essence of the problem is outreach. It's absolutely mandatory on that. Failing to have that, of course, children develop more slowly in school. They're probably the first to become involved in alcohol and drugs, illicit sex, and they are also the big dropouts on this. Crime also is a large factor on that. As they move to adulthood, then of course they move into two areas here which are terribly costly. One of them is welfare, of which the statistical abstract put out by the Bureau of the Census indicates that in Oregon there is expended now over $566 million per year with people that are on and off welfare for the rest of their lives. In law enforcement, as I recall, the figure in Oregon is that we spend by county, state, federal, and so on, we spend something like $450 million per year. So what we're looking at here is an expenditure over $1 billion, and we suggest it might be wise to try to find ways to prevent this expenditure rather than merely react after the fact. Which brings me, I think I can bring to the fact sheet which I handed out to you. Very briefly, this fact sheet shows the results of probably the finest longitudinal study in this era that's ever been conducted in the United States. High Scope Educational Foundation started a program. It's, I think it's wrong to identify it as a preschool program because obviously it would work for five-year-olds just about as well as it does for four-year-olds. So it is a school program for the young child. I talked with David Weichert, the president of the High Scope Foundation, a few weeks ago, and he pointed out that an equally big factor, it's not just the curriculum they have in the school, but an equally big factor is parent involvement. In this program conducted back in the early 60s, the school staff contacted each and every parent no less than 16 times in the course of 1 year. Home visitation, this sort of thing, collaboration with the parent. And then these are the results, some of the results. The book I have here, the results are far more extensive and complex than is given on this chart. But you see here that roughly from a third to a half of not mentally retarded, but deemed to be mentally retarded children on here reduced. Dropouts, greatly reduced. Arrests, greatly reduced. Welfare. And these children here in this report now are wage earning ages now. Literacy, employment, and vocational school or on to college. In addition to that, there are a couple more items here which I think are rather interesting. In the experimental group, there were 64 teen pregnancies. In the control group, and they matched the control and experimental group very closely, there were 117 pregnancies, you see. So these are the impacts here that we have on this. So very briefly, because we're in a shortage of time, what our proposal is that if monies were expended for a child development program, which has been on the books but underfunded for, I'm told, about 15 years, we could expect to see rather quickly better climate in our communities and also a tremendous savings in money. For instance, one of the savings here, you've got special education, these other matters here, which is saying it didn't work the first time, so we'll try to teach them a second time. In this study, they followed the youngsters through school, and the savings in the school budget was 17%. In Salem, we expand on general funds and on capital development something like $160 million a year. That savings in just the town of Salem alone would amount to something like $23 million. So you see this, we perceive this to very important as needing to get at the heart of it. And for that reason, we urge you to look carefully at the child development program, behind which, of course, are the child development specialists who are yearning for some money to do the things which would begin to let them deal with this massive problem, whereas now it's only token. I'll try to answer any questions.
Well, I think we're very supportive of what are called early education and before that even pre-kindergarten programs.
Yeah.
And one of the things we really have to look at, I'm always very supportive of programs and use figures like this. One of the things we have to look at, we have that the Perry School program was a quality program, well funded, highly funded.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, our Head Start programs in Oregon